VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Yeah, buddy, back at it on Cashing Out. I'm Dustin Sweetelson, hanging out with you all night long from the Circa Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. You can always catch us on SiriusXM Channel 158, YouTube TV, the Visa Watch app, and radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America. Still to come on the program, legendary professional handicapper Scott Spreitzer will be with us in just 30 minutes. He has an angle for identifying a national champion, plus some of his favorite plays for the opening round of the Big Dance getting going on Thursday. In terms of the tournament, we did find out a couple more teams who have punched their tickets. Part of, at least, you know, the rest of the field that begins on Thursday. For starters, Howard took down UMBC 86-83. They were 1.5-point favorites at close. They opened as a slight dog. We go way over that total of 143.5. So Howard is officially part of the Big Dance. Their gift? They will take on the Michigan Wolverines in the Midwest bracket. You had Texas get past NC State. It got dramatic at the end. The Wolfpack made a push, but unfortunately, not enough, too little, too late. The Longhorns advance 68-66. We lost a bet on that one. We had the over. It went way under the total of 158.5. Texas cashes as a slight dog of plus one and a hook. The Longhorns will match up with BYU to begin things in the western side of things in the NCAA tournament. Right now, we're looking at a point spread of 1.5. BYU slightly favored. I would be inclined to think about Texas because of some of the talent and the depth that they have. Total 159.5. First lean would be the over, but I am... It's going to take a lot for me to start betting overs now the rest of the way in the NCAA tournament. I am mainly identifying unders. In fact, I may be on a lot of first-half unders as well. I'm on a couple first-half unders, I believe, already. I did add an under that we'll discuss a little bit later on in the show for the opening round a little bit later. But the VSiN March Mania betting guide's out, and I have started tackling it. I got to tell you, we do a lot of really cool things here. The betting guides we put out, the detail, the information, Adam Burke, Zach Cohen, the whole team just do an awesome job. And there's information you can do something with. And one thing I like to do is highlight some of that information that really jumps out to me that I don't think you're finding anywhere else. Because the sports betting landscape has gotten so big, and I believe in what we do here, and I believe the people we have. And I don't know if there's anyone quite as unique as what Steve Mackinnon brings to the table. He puts out his trends, and you've got them for every round. You've got them for all these situations. A bunch of them will be up on the website, so if you feel like reading them, you should probably become a VSiN Pro, so you make sure you get access to all of this, not just the betting guide. But these were my favorite trends from the March Mania betting guide up right now, VSiN.com/subscribe for more information. So the first one that jumped out to me, power conference schools that lost straight up and against the spread in their conference championship games are 67-18 straight up, 48-35-2 against the spread. That's 57.8% covering in the first round over the last 17 seasons. So what does that tell you? That tells you teams that got to their conference title game but did not win and did not cover, they're still motivated and they have a bad taste in their mouth when they begin this thing. So who does that apply to? It's going to mostly apply to good schools, right? The higher seeds that at least made their conference title games. The first one, let's go to Michigan. Michigan is a 31.5-point favorite against Howard. It's a huge spread. But according to that, you might want to think about Michigan. I probably won't get there because the number's really big. But how about we go to Vanderbilt? Vanderbilt, who did not win, did not cover, right? I do this all the time. I went back and looked earlier, and now as it comes out of my mouth, I want to confirm I'm right on this. I should have triple-checked it, but on Sunday against Arkansas, they lost by 11. Yeah, they did not cover. See, I don't know why I do that. But in the moment, I get a little gun-shy. Vanderbilt would apply as well. And Vanderbilt is laying 11.5 against McNeese. One, I just think it's a tough matchup for McNeese, who is very defensive-driven, and Mark Byington is such a great creative X's and O's mind as an offensive coach. I just think with his guards, it's going to be a really difficult task for that Havoc defense for McNeese to hang with them. But according to this trend, you got a team losing their conference title game. Look to back them in their opening round matchup. And it's a shorter number than you would expect because they're just laying 11.5 in a 5 versus 12. You also have Houston as an option in this group and UConn. And speaking of Houston, we should hear from Kelvin Sampson as the Cougars are laying 23.5 against Idaho. Total 136 and a hook. Kelvin Sampson has come close several times to winning a national championship. He went on SiriusXM's College Sports Radio and explained the mindset once you get to be a part of the NCAA tourney.
It's an exciting time, regardless of whether it's your first time or your 20th time. There's all this activity as soon as the names are announced and the bracket fills out. You know who you're playing. You focus on that team. You meet with your team. You see the excitement of the freshmen, the resolve of the older guys. And now we can start this final push. If you play good, you'll have a chance. If you don't, then sayonara.
I think we're all severely underrating Houston. And Kelvin Sampson just penciling him into Final Fours pretty consistently over the last few years at Houston. In the betting market, you can still get a pretty good number on the Cougars to win the whole thing. Right now, 12-1. This time a year ago, I bet them at like 3-1 or 5-1. I want to say it was 5-1 to win the whole thing. I'm getting more than double the odds now. I do think that Houston is flying severely under the radar. In terms of their first round matchup, Mackinnon points out they would be part of that group. Lost their conference title game, did not cover the number to look to back in the opening round. How about this one? Small first round favorites of -1 to -3, according to Steve Mackinnon, are just 62-64 straight up, 51-71-4 against the spread, only covering 41.8% going back to 2009. He does add, however, this is a trend that has swung the other way in the last 3 years of chalky first rounds, going 13-6 straight up. And I did not copy the against the spread, but you get my point here. You've got teams to fade according to this historically. Should last year maybe be an outlier, or the last 3 years be an outlier? That means fade Ohio State. You don't have to tell me twice. I can't wait to bet on Jamie Dixon, despite him not having great numbers covering in the NCAA tournament. North Carolina, -2.5. Fade them against VCU. I'm already on +3 with VCU. I love to hear that. Fade Georgia, -2.5 against St. Louis. See, I was a bit concerned St. Louis would be too trendy, but now it appears a lot of people are looking at Georgia here, and I think I would take St. Louis with the three-point shooting that they bring to the table. Utah State, fade them against Villanova. They're a 1.5-point favorite. Iowa's laying 2.5 against Clemson. I do think if I wasn't already on the under and I wanted to do something from the side, I would look at Clemson. Now that is that still 2.5? Let me see. It's still 2.5. I would take the 2.5 with Clemson. And then fade Miami, laying 1.5 against Missouri. I think Missouri is going to be the right side. I think a lot of people are thinking Miami's a little bit deeper than they are. Donaldson's a stud. Jay Lucas is a great head coach. But I think Missouri, with the battle-testedness of the SEC, I think this is where it could show its head against the Miami team that looks good coming out of an ACC that's had a very down season. All right, the next one up here, according to Steve Mackinnon, these are part of the VSiN March Mania betting guide, by the way. Become a pro. Subscribe right now. You can get the guide for $19.99 or become a pro and get access to the guide and everything else we do over at VSiN.com. Mid-level favorites of -3.5 to -7.5 have struggled. 49-32 straight up, but only 35-46 covering. 43.2% since 2016 in the first round. Well, who does that mean we fade? It means you fade St. Mary's laying 3.5 against A&M. You fade Kentucky laying 3.5 against Santa Clara. You don't back UCLA laying the 5.5 against UCF. And then there's Louisville, where this number has been bet down from 6 to 4.5 as they are favored against the South Florida Bulls, who have a high-octane offense, who like to get a lot of shots and possessions up and shoot the three pretty well. One of their players, Wes Ennis, said, look, I understand the seeding. I know why you guys are concerned. We don't believe we're an 11 seed. We think that we can take down Louisville. Here's what he said earlier in the week.
Yeah, I don't think it's an upset. I think we're the better team. I don't really care what 11-6 says. I think we're the better team. So I wouldn't really call it an upset.
Okay, that can go one of two ways. One, I love the confidence. Two, in the social media age, it could really blow up in your face. As someone who puts some things out there and regrets them minutes later, based on the reaction, I would tell you, Wes Ennis, maybe keep that in-house. Keep that in the locker room. Just because if you don't pull it off, it's not going to be fun. But I do believe that they believe that they can take down Louisville. And we mentioned it earlier, Pat Kelsey, 0-5 covering in the NCAA tournament in his career. That is wild. Now, only 0-1 with Louisville, but 0-5 covering against the spread at a couple other stops before he got to the Cardinals. Not a great trend. And a Louisville team that, full disclosure for me, every time I bet on them, they let me down. Every time I bet against them, they let me down. I couldn't figure out Louisville. I couldn't figure out NC State. I couldn't figure out Virginia all season long. Those three ACC teams, they might as well have been playing Parcheesi, okay? I don't even know how to play Parcheesi. But playing a board game out here, Candyland, because I didn't know what they were doing on the floor in terms of basketball. So if you like those trends, you want more of them, VSiN.com, Steve Mackinnon, he's always bringing the fire, man. And in the VSiN March Mania betting guide, I'm not even scratching the surface of what he's put into that thing. Go check it out now. So we got a lot to get to in the final hour of the program. Coming up in 20 minutes, we will have Scott Spreitzer, professional handicapper, with his system that he's looking for to identify a potential national champion. But I want to remind you that you should forget about the bracket. Profit X is taking March Madness to a whole new level with the King of March. They're giving you a shot to become the King of March with free trips worth up to $10,000. During the tourney, win 10 different pregame spreads or totals across the 67 games and hit the volume goal on wins or losses, and you're entered to win a trip of your choice. Hit $1,000 in total volume, you're entered to win a $5,000 trip. $10,000 in volume, you're entered to win a $10,000 trip. We're talking flights, hotels, wherever you want to go, they'll cover all the amounts. It's simple. Download ProfitX, create your account, and use promo code VSINMM. Sign up today with code VSINMM and compete to become the King of March only on ProfitX. When we return, there was a trade in the NFL we should hit on. That's next on Cashing Out.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back at it on Cashing Out. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. You're locked into VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Thanks for hanging out with us all night long as we broadcast, as always, from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. If you missed any part of the show, I do suggest going back and checking it out wherever you get your podcasts. Isaac Trotter from 247 Sports in hour number one, breaking down March Madness. We also got the thoughts of Zachary Cohen, Michael Fiddle, as far as the NBA is concerned. We looked at all of the numbers that matter when it looks for the NCAA tournament, looking for teams that you want to back in terms of big picture to win this whole thing. But more importantly, what we're focused on right now, those dogs who are alive in the opening round of the NCAA tournament, go back and check out the show wherever you get your podcasts. Right now, though, I want to talk a little NFL for just a brief moment because there was a big deal that went down earlier today, and it's a massive win for both teams. For starters, in case you missed it, the Denver Broncos acquired wide receiver Jaylen Waddle from the Dolphins in exchange for a first, third, and a fourth round draft picks. There was a swap as well. Waddle immediately, to me, becomes that number one for Denver, something they really needed. And kind of that one of the last two pieces that the Broncos are looking for to put them over the top offensively. If they can get another running back to pair with Dobbins, I do really like the potential of this offense, and I am not a Bo Nix guy. But Jaylen Waddle's ability to stretch the field, but more importantly, turn short passes into big plays because he is still a dynamic guy with the ball in his hands, I think that adds to Bo Nix and what he could be in his third season because he doesn't like to put the ball in harm's way. And getting rid of the ball quickly and getting it to a guy like Waddle could really stretch out this offense as Sutton becomes that move the chains, go-to guy. He He's still capable of the burst plays, but I like the element and kind of the contrast in Waddle and Sutton as receivers to line up with each other in this Broncos offense. And I wouldn't be worried about Waddle because the production might be a little bit down the last 2 years. That Miami offense was very basic because Tua Tagovailoa is broken goods. I mean, he can't throw the ball downfield at all. How could you utilize a guy with the speed of Waddle if the quarterback can't throw the ball 25, 30 yards in the air? It's just not possible. They now have their number one in Denver. And for Miami, this is how you tank. This is what you do. The win total's 4.5. And the over's minus 120. I think the under makes a lot of sense. They have over $175 million in dead cap. Okay? They are not even trying to compete. And by the way, I think they're right. This is how you do it. You tear it down to the studs. You get rid of everyone. You pay the price. You stink for 2 years. And then you find a way to win. I just think the end game for them is hopefully Arch Manning is buying up property in South Beach by the time his career is done at Texas. Because that would be the goal if I'm the Miami Dolphins. For Denver, the win total is 9.5. Kind of like the over. They are plus 210 to win the AFC West. And I'm not high on them normally, but I kind of think they're being undervalued. They're 10-1 to win the AFC. That's the same odds as the Houston Texans. That's probably right. And I think Denver has the upside to be really good now that they could potentially have a really strong offense in 2026. So that is the big story in the NFL. We will go back to college basketball as it's now time to bring you the best sound bites from earlier in the day here on VSiN. It's Night Bites.
At 4th-and-1 at midfield, you're up 11. The Raiders really can't do anything.
But they're one of the best teams in baseball.
Night Bites.
Night Bites. All right. Let us go to VSiN by the Books weekdays, 7 a.m. Eastern Time. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis have you covered every single morning, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Although not Jensen. He doesn't have any hair, so he can't have a tail. Dave Ross, I feel like, rocked a mullet tail at some point in his life. I feel like that there's not a lot of locks here on the network. I would call that a lock, that the locks of Dave Ross were once in at least like the rat tail, for sure. Anyway, back to what they were doing earlier in the morning, in case you missed it. Tom Crean, ESPN College Hoops analyst, one of my favorites. Just an awesome interview, awesome personality in college hoops. He went on with them and broke down why he, like the rest of us, is on Arizona to win it all.
I think it's Arizona, Florida in the finals. It could go either way. I think the difference is Arizona has got the guard play that's consistent throughout the year. Jaden Bradley, Braden Burries, Anthony DeLorso. They've got the front line. They've got four legit front liners. I think Ivan Karchenkov is going to be a guy that the world is going to know even more so than the basketball world at the end of this tournament. Braden Burries is a phenomenal freshman. I think he's a single-digit draft pick when it comes. Cole Pete, those guys have done a great job inside of there. Jaden Bradley is a leader. You got to have great guard play, but you got to have rim protection, and you've got to have ways to get to the foul line. Arizona's got all that.
There are no weaknesses. That is the concern. They seem inevitable. They have the perfect path somehow, despite not being the number one overall seed, and they've been so consistent from the beginning to the end of this season. I didn't think Arizona was going to be this good. I doubted them during the year. I'm with Tom Crean. I'm with everyone else. I hate that. I want to be different. I want to be on an island. I force myself to be different from everyone else all the time. I can't do it this time. Michigan has holes. I think that injury to Kaysen is a big issue for them, especially in the middle stretch of games. I'm looking at Duke. They're dealing with a couple of injuries on their own. Florida, how much of what we're seeing shooting the three is real versus what we saw earlier in the year? That's why I look at Arizona. I think Arizona will be in the title game when this thing is said and done. Let's go to Pod to the Futures, one of our great podcasts we have here on the network. Mitch Moss, JVT, two of the best I've ever met when it comes to futures. I mean, when I first met Mitch, he was literally winning like 250-1s like every 3 months. It was absurd. He's probably the best in the country when it comes to futures. They were on their podcast, Pod to the Futures, discussing some potential Sweet 16 parlays. Ooh, what are the guys getting into? Find out now.
Put a little pizza money on Troy, 45-1, and McNeese, 20-1, to make it to the Sweet 16. What do you think?
Oh, well, we kind of touched on that game already. I said the McNeese game scares me for Vandy more than the second round game.
Yeah.
So I think Nebraska can be had by Troy. Is that the spot where we have some chaos and we get the, what would that be, 12 versus the 13? And then if they would both win, bam, you're sitting there at 20-1 and 45-1, and you have an automatic winner in your pocket.
So I like the strategy, but I want to go with a different 12-13. Could that be the strategy that we take for High Point? I don't want to put that in the existence.
Hofstra.
Akron and Hofstra. So if you look at it from that perspective, you could see them take each other on. Akron is 20-1. Hofstra is 25-1. It's a little less juicy than the 45-1, but that's I like the concept. My thought was that it could happen in a different bracket.
Let's bet them both, baby. Come on.
Yeah.
Hey, you like the sound of that? You want to bet more futures? Those are the two guys to listen to. Check out Pod to the Futures wherever you get your podcasts. All right, the next one here, we've got more Mitch Moss, and he's talking about Purdue and a potential Elite Eight run. I am fascinated to hear which side Mitch falls on. There's a lot of people who are into Purdue. There's a lot of people who say what we've seen most recently isn't the real version of the Boilermakers. Does Mitch believe the resume, by the way, the formula, the resume, whatever you want to say, they have everything you're looking for when you want to identify a team that can win a championship. Elite guard play, three-point shooting, seniors that have been through this before, and an experienced coach with plenty of size and physicality. Purdue should be the team that cuts down the Nets. They were the number one team in the preseason. Where does Mitch Moss fall on that?
One of the first bets I made is Purdue to make the Elite Eight, and I'm not overreacting. I don't even really love this team, although offensively they are elite. I think they have the highest offensive efficiency in the history of some of these websites, that like the Haslams of the world, Torbricks or whatever. I think they're number one ever. If I'm wrong on that, I apologize. But a couple things here. I think they're laying 25.5 against Queens is way too many points. Mm-hmm. Number two, I was startled at how easy the bottom of that draw is for the team, because I'm not that high on Gonzaga, and maybe that's my mistake. But you're right. BYU looked good for a couple of games in that tournament. But overall, full body of work. Defensively, they stink. I think Purdue played BYU, Purdue would score 100 points on them. Mm-hmm. So I have, and I bet Purdue plus 115 Elite Eight.
Ooh. Interesting. I didn't think Mitch kind of said it there. He doesn't love the team, but he still bet it. And sometimes you have to do that. You have to understand that you have biases. And I do this sometimes where I go, you know what? I don't like the team, but I like the number, right? I like the situation. I like the spot. I like the number. So if that all comes together, I'm willing to back him. So I understand where he's coming from looking at Purdue. The path is the same as Arizona's. That's why it would be intriguing for the Boilermakers. They open with Queens. Then it's either Miami or Missouri. Then it's Gonzaga. And it's a down Gonzaga team. Now, I would hope that Mark Few and his style of play can contrast what Painter wants to do in a big spot. It's two coaches waiting on to win the big one, so one of them has to advance. But after that, it's Arizona, and I just don't think Purdue is consistent enough to get past Arizona. That's why I bet the hair on my head. I said I would shave my head if Purdue went to the Final Four. God, I need Arizona to win that one in the Elite Eight if that is the matchup there, because I don't want to shave my head. That was the whole point of the bet. And I'm also getting yelled at by my girlfriend that I better not have to shave my head. Okay, so that's where we stand with that. Check out Pod to the Futures wherever you get your podcast. All right, check it out, VSiN.com right now. We've got everything you need to get you ready for the big dance. VSiN, seed-by-seed betting trends report. Give you the historical trends, key stats, betting angles for every matchup, everything you need to bet every round smarter. The best part? It's free. Download yours today for free at VSiN.com/download. That's VSIN.com/download. What are the parameters we're looking for a national champion in college hoops? Well, pro handicapper Scott Spritzer explains next.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Dustin Sweetelson with you all night long from the Circa Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. Fun show, fun week. We got a lot happening here, and we're at the point in the week where I'm looking at the betting card, and I have a million plays already lined up for Thursday and Friday, and I'm only going to add more. I'm not looking to get off them. I'm looking to look for more bets that I like, and to help us do that, maybe even identify a future, we're going to welcome in our next guest. He is Scott Spritzer, legendary professional handicapper at DocSports.com, at Scott Wins on X, and he joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. Scott, I know you got a cool strategy for identifying a potential national champion here. Before we get to that, though, can we just talk big picture, big dance, what it means to you for someone who's been in Vegas for a really long time and has seen the evolution of like how this has become the destination for the NCAA tournament for people. It's honestly how I first started coming to Vegas was for the NCAA tournament opening rounds. And that was kind of the icebreaker for me and how I fell in love with this town. Basic strategy, mindset, as you get ready for it, is a marathon from Thursday to Sunday.
Yeah, first of all, and I learned this over 30 years ago, the strategy for watching a game at a sports book is to get there at about 7 o'clock in the morning, a couple of hours before tip-off. And I learned the hard way that way. But anyway, what I look for a lot when it comes to betting these games on an individual basis is I'm looking to go against kind of teams that are underdogs that the folks kind of jump on, the public, and really are looking to take a certain team in an underdog situation that maybe finished off with a bunch of wins to go into the dance. And if they had to win their tournament in the conference play, if they had to, you know, win 5, 6, 7 games in a row, if they've won even more in a row to get there, it's a team that I'm going to look to go against, especially if they're really stepping up in pedigree and they want to run and they don't shoot the three ball. I think those teams are good teams to go against. One of my strategies in the opening few days of the big dance.
Well, we'll touch on that a little bit more when we look at some of your favorite plays, maybe some teams you're identifying you haven't gone down on yet. But more importantly, it is kind of the last chance to get the best possible number on a national champion. You dove into the numbers. You're looking at some teams. What are you finding historically that we should be looking at as markers for teams that could end up cutting down the nets when this thing's said and done?
Yeah, I got to tell you, Patrick Maher, a good buddy of yours and mine, we talked about this a few days ago on his show, and I was talking about, I'm not the only one to bring this up, but 28 of the last 29 national champions entered the big dance ranked in Ken Palm's top 25 in both offensive and defensive adjusted efficiency. There are 7 teams right now that go in with this prerequisite on their, on their side. That would be Arizona, Duke, Michigan, all 3 at plus 380. Florida's 9-1, Houston 11-1, Iowa State 16-1, and how about Michigan State at 50-1? And Michigan State wasn't one of the teams that fit going into the weekend, but they had a little nice run on the offensive side of the court over the final couple of the games, and it boosted them just enough to fit as one of these 7 teams. And then UConn, who is at 30-1. If we would have talked on Friday night, I would have told you that UConn was one of the 7 teams. They fell out of qualifying offensively over the weekend, over the tournament. So it's a situation now where we got those 7 teams, and you got to decide if you want to take one of those double-digit, odd plays like Houston, Iowa State, or Miss State, especially Sparty at 50-1, if you really want to maximize potential profits.
So of that group that you've identified, who are ones that you believe in? Who are ones that maybe you would fade if someone was looking to look at a future?
Yeah, I would look at, if you want that short favorite, I would look at Michigan. The only real issue I see with the Wolverines is that they don't force turnovers, and that means they don't get a lot of extra possessions. 6-2 in the last 8, and 3 of those 6 wins came by a grand total of 10 points, Dustin. I'm not as concerned with the loss of LJ Kason, which happened back in February. But if they would meet like Texas Tech, that's a bit tough, even though no JT Toppin probably helps Michigan get past the Red Raiders. Iowa State, Virginia, they could give them a decent game, but Iowa State's terrible shooting the free throws, and that's scary for the Cyclones in what could be a potentially close game. So I think Michigan, if you want one of the short favorites at plus 380, the team that I like at 1,100 is Houston. And the Cougars don't draw fouls. They do commit too many fouls at times. That's a concern, but that's kind of what they did last year. And remember, that team came within a bucket of cutting down the nets. They're terrific on defense. Not quite as strong as last year's version. And even St. Mary's could give them some problems from the deep perimeter if St. Mary's gets hot in that game, a potential matchup. Final Four rematch with Duke is likely, Dustin, the way I break things down. I think they would get by Duke. Maybe Vandy gets there if they can, get by a couple of teams. I don't think if they meet Florida in the Elite Eight, I don't think Florida is good enough from area code 3, shooting that 3-pointer to beat Houston this season. And that's one of the reasons why I wouldn't take Florida as one of those, potential, plus 900 teams to win the championship. Duke scares me, Dustin, because they don't always shoot the three well, and they can be bad shooting at the free throw line. We saw them have a horrible night shooting free throws and threes against Florida State in a tournament. It almost cost them. But Arizona, Michigan, Houston, I think are 3 decent bets.
Yeah, it does feel like we're all sleeping on Houston a little bit here. Scott Spritzer is our guest, DocSports.com handicapper, legend in the game. At Scott Wins, you can find him over on X. Let's get into some games that you're into. First, this first four, SMU and Miami of Ohio. This spread has done a lot of dancing, Scott. We opened, I believe, around 8. It got up to 8.5. We're back down to 6.5 with SMU laying it. Total is 163.5. Are you looking at America's darlings, the Miami of Ohio Redhawks, or are you with me? You want to lay the number with Andy Enfield and the Mustangs?
Dustin, we're going to collect it. We're going to cry over this game together. You know, I looked at this game, and at first I was like, boy, you know, 8.5 is a little high, but I don't want to back Miami here. And when it dropped to 6.5, I jumped in on SMU. A lot of sevens out there right now. SMU is going to be the highest power-rated team Miami, Ohio will have faced all season. And in fact, Dustin, they're just the second opponent that Miami will have faced ranked higher than 130th in KenPom's power ratings. Miami's non-conference schedule, well, it was ranked as the fifth softest out of 365 teams. And overall, when you include the MAC, the strength of schedule is 269th. They would be a neutral court underdog to 41 teams that did not make the big dance. They'd be a four-point neutral court dog to Arizona State if you break it down by power ratings. And if you look at what they've done of late, they have led by two, been tied, or lost, that loss to UMass, at the end of regulation in 8 of the last 14 games. Couple of overtime games in there. So while the pressure of an undefeated record is behind them, they don't have to so-called, you know, win to get to the dance, although they have to win to obviously play in and get this victory and move on. I just don't like them. I think they're kind of a public dog. SMU top 50 in two-point accuracy, 24th shooting the tray, and they hit the offensive glass real hard. And by the way, SMU played the 51st toughest schedule, much tougher than what Miami, Ohio saw.
Yeah, it's not even comparable. Miami of Ohio, if we're being fair, shouldn't be in the field. They're just being given an achievement because they went undefeated in the regular season. We're chatting with Scott Spritzer, professional handicapper, DocSports.com, at Scott Wins on X. We're also aligned on this next one as the entire nation is in love with High Point, despite nobody knowing which city or state High Point is located in. Wisconsin's laying 9.5 at DraftKings. It's 10 at a lot of shops. Total 164.5. We're on the Badgers. Why are we right about this one, Scott?
Yeah, High Point, as you mentioned, kind of a popular dog. I mean, they've won 14 in a row, but they faced a schedule even softer than Miami's. They faced the nation's overall 342nd ranked schedule. So we must take all of those great metrics that they have with a grain of salt. And if you look back at the Big South, the champion of the Big South has won one of the last 30 NC2A tournament games, 13-18 against the spread. And the Badgers faced a top 20 schedule. And if you look at since January 10th, Wisconsin, how about this? 5-1 outright against teams that are power rated in the top 10. 5-1. They're 11th in offensive adjusted efficiency against that schedule. Third in offensive turnover percentage. They value the rock. They don't give opponents extra possessions, and that mitigates one of High Point's strengths because High Point has forced a lot of turnovers, but not against this type of team. And I'm jumping on whiskey here. I laid the 9.5. I like him at 10. I think they win this one 18 to 20 points.
All right, Scott, real quick, in about a minute, you're willing to fade Alabama against Hofstra. Tell me why.
Yeah, you could have got a little bit better number when this one came out. And, of course, we saw what happened with the Alabama player who's in legal trouble potentially. But, listen, we got a fast-playing Alabama team that's facing a dog who plays a deliberate brand of basketball, 317th adjusted tempo. That makes threes at the same time. That's what I look for when it comes to double-digit dogs in the opening round of the big dance. Slow the ball down. Throw a wrench into Alabama's system, drain threes. They're 43% from behind the arc, and they're 29th at three-point accuracy. I should say 43% of all their shots come from behind the arc, 29th in three-point accuracy. So that's what I look for in these early dogs. I like Hofstra plus the double digits.
He is Scott Spritzer. You can check him out at Scott Wins on X, DocSports.com. You are the best, my friend. Good luck. Rest up. Get ready because the marathon is officially here Thursday through Sunday.
Good luck, man. Thanks for having me.
Oh, he's the best. That's my favorite conversation every week. Scott Spritzer, DocSports.com, handicapper on the Progressive Guest Line. Well, this show has flown by. I have a feeling that's what the rest of the week is going to feel like. We have a lot to get to. In the final segment of the program, I have added a few more college basketball plays for the NCAA tournament. We will preview the first four games coming up on Wednesday, plus NBA player props and more. All on the other side of cashing out. Stay with us on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Dustin Sweetelson with you on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. It has been an absolutely fun, jam-packed show. We're going to do it again tomorrow. And you know what makes tomorrow great? We're previewing the games, all right? We will give you the last licks before we get ready for all of the action all day Thursday, all day Friday. Oh, it's the best time of year. It's the best time to be in Vegas. People don't realize it. A lot of people like to tell you, oh, I love to go to Vegas for the Super Bowl. Nope, don't do, well, I mean, come if you want, but Thursday, Friday, this is when you come. If you're willing to spend, have some fun, throw some bets around, get a booth here at Circa, I mean, that's the move. There isn't a better place in the world to watch the NCAA tournament than right behind me in this sports book at Circa. So we're going to be all over it all day long tomorrow. We've added a few more college plays as well. But before we get to that, we've kind of neglected the NBA. And what we like to do here is look at player props, the best matchups coming up for Wednesday. So let's do that here with the starting five. These are the five matchups that jumped out to me the most when I was looking at the teams doing battle on Wednesday. And we'll begin with LeBron James as the Lakers and the Houston Rockets go at it down in Houston. Now, I do anticipate this being a lower scoring game. Total's 222.5. I think that's even a little bit high based on my anticipation. Houston at home under Ime Udoka, they lock down defensively. And LeBron James, you go back and look, he has not had great performances against the Rockets of late, and he's only getting older. He's only getting worse. I am on LeBron James under 28.5 points, rebounds, and assists. Last four against Houston, he's gone under this number, 28, 25, 26, and 28. I do believe that continues once again for King James on the road at the Rockets. Our next play, we're going to look at Najee Marshall taking on the Atlanta Hawks, where they allow the third most points, sixth most rebounds to opposing small forwards. I don't love that we have Cooper Flagg back in the lineup for Dallas now, taking up some of this momentum from Najee Marshall. But his last two games, because they don't really play anybody, Najee Marshall's been going crazy. 47 on his PRA, 37 on his PRA. His PRA is only 26.5. Against Atlanta, he only had 20 back on March 10th, but I do think second time around he could get going. So give me Najee Marshall in a volume spot against the Hawks over 26.5 PRA. The next player we're going to look at is Brandon Ingram. The Bulls allow the fifth most points, 10th most rebounds, fourth most assists per game to shooting guards. Someone explain this number to me. His points, rebounds, and assists combined is set at 33.5. He has seen the Bulls twice this year. The same output, 45 on his PRA. Okay, he's going for over 30 points in these games. I love him over 33.5 PRA. Brandon Ingram's going to do everything against the Chicago Bulls. And then some other plays I'm also adding. We're going Brook Lopez in a matchup with New Orleans, who allows the ninth most points, but more importantly, sixth most rebounds to centers, plus money. Over 4.5 boards, plus 115 on Brook Lopez against that front court for the Pels. And then Onyeka Okongwu for Atlanta, going back to that matchup with Dallas. Mavericks allow the second most points, eighth most rebounds, third most assists to centers. He just saw the Mavericks on March 10th. He had 18-9-2. That's 29. Give me the over with that. I'm also going to be on the under. DeAndre Ayton, 7.5 rebounds, minus 136 juice. You have to pay a price, but I don't mind doing it against the Rockets because it's a tough matchup for DeAndre Ayton. So those are the plays as far as the NBA is concerned. We have a couple play-in games occurring on Wednesday. First one will be Prairie View and Lehigh as they match up with Lehigh Lane, 3.5, total 143 and a hook. They won the Patriot League. No one saw it coming. Everyone said it was going to end up being Navy. Navy was a heavy favorite, got steamed up to minus $2. Yet here are the Lehigh Mountain Hawks, coached by Dr. Brett Reed, who once knocked off Duke with CJ McCollum in the baggiest shorts I've ever seen in my life back in the day. So Lehigh offensively, not much to write home about. 290th in efficiency, but they do shoot the ball well from three. 39 in the country, 36.5% for them. Prairie View, 310th in efficiency. They play at a faster pace, 50th in possession length nationwide. They from three are only 33.1%, but very good from the charity stripe. Brett Reed, he's a doctor, comes into this one 7-1 against the spread, 5-2 to the under on neutrals, 4-0 covering, 3-1 to the under on neutrals when the total's in the 140s, 3-0 against the spread, 2-0 to the under on a neutral as a favorite of six or less. Then Byron Smith for Prairie View A&M, 13-8 against the spread, 14-9 to the under on neutrals, 8-6 covering, 10-5 to the under as a neutral dog. I said the word under a lot. said neutral more, but under the second most in the last wave of sentences to flow out of my mouth. So we are going to go under 143.5 on Prairie View and Lehigh in the play-in game. We've got SMU and Miami of Ohio in probably the most anticipated play-in game we've had in quite a minute, where SMU was laying 6.5. This one was 8, 8.5. It got down to 6.5 now. We're back up to 7 at Circa. Total's 163.5. The key here is SMU potentially getting back their second leading scorer. I believe it's third leading scorer. Let me double check that real quick. Either way, you've got B.J. Edwards, third leading scorer, 12.7 points per game, potentially returning from injury. We don't know 100% yet, but I believe that is why there's fluctuation in this market. The metrics would tell you Miami of Ohio has the offense to hang for this fight. They are sixth in effective field goal percentage. They are 22nd in the nation shooting the three at 37.5%, second from two at 61.5%. I would just tell you that SMU is a bit of a different style of fight than they're used to in the MAC. Okay, this team is better from, or as good as they are from three, right around the same, 37.4%, but against better opponents. 48th from two, so absolutely fine there. They're a more efficient offense, and Andy Enfield is a coach who is experienced, who has been through this before. Andy Enfield at SMU is 6-2 against the spread, 5-3 to the under when playing in a tournament, 3-0 against the spread on a neutral when the total is in the 160s. His career in the NCAA tournament, Andy Enfield is 10-3 against the spread. Travis Steele is an underdog, pretty good. I'll give him credit, 30-24 against the spread, but I think there is too much depth and too much athleticism from the team that is playing from the ACC and SMU. I am laying the 6.5 with the Mustangs in that game. All right, a couple more college plays we did add earlier in the day up at vsin.com/picks. The first one is I laid the 10 with Wisconsin. I know everyone's on High Point, and I understand why, but I have concerns. High Point doesn't play in a great league. So the thought that they're just going to run and gun with Wisconsin, who's battle-tested out of the Big Ten, I think might be a little bit foolhardy. They're not exactly elite from three either, 34.4%, but I understand. They shoot a lot of volume. I would say with the backcourt Wisconsin's offering here, that might not be the best way to approach it. Wisconsin's 11th in the nation in adjusted offensive efficiency, okay? They shoot the ball from three at 36.1%, from two at 54.8%, and they are elite. Top 12 from the charity stripe, which is huge when you're betting on favorites in these games because High Point doesn't want to go quietly into the night. They're going to foul till the very end, which means Wisconsin's ability to hit free throws could help us cover if it is at risk at the end of this game. High Point, I understand why people want to back them because it's fun, because it's different, because they have an offense. But I don't know if they have the defense. And I think defense really matters the most here. And I don't know if they have the three-point ability that you look for in these double-digit underdogs to pull off the upset. I think Wisconsin is better every which way. They cover the number, and I think they go on a run potentially to the Elite Eight, the Wisconsin Badgers. Michigan State is taking on North Dakota State. Right now, we are looking at a number of 16.5. Sparty's laying it. Total's 143.5. The total is where I'm looking in this game. So at Michigan State, there's enough offense there, but what Tom Izzo's hallmark is the defense, the intensity, the way he defends the perimeter, the way his team fights for rebounds. I think because of that, we're going to go under the 143.5 in this game. Tom Izzo in his career in tournament play, 42-38 to the under. When he's seeded as a four or higher, he is 25 and I can't read my handwriting. I believe that is 17 to the under. And then in the first round of the NCAA tournament, he's actually 14-12 to the over, but either way, more trends to the under here. And I think with them being a big favorite and then potentially having a huge lead late, pulling the starters, we're not going to see a lot of points out of Sparty late in this game. Give me the under 143.5 with Michigan State against North Dakota State. So that will just about do it for all the plays here on the program. I want to see if I missed anything. I don't believe I did. I think that is everything. We've got a lot to get to, though, over the course of the next day or so. Wednesday's the big one, previewing the tournament, and VSiN is the best place to be. We've got you covered all day long. You got Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis in the AMs. VSiN by the books, it starts at 7 a.m. Eastern time. They got you covered. They will make sure you're prepared for the first four. Final bets coming in. Jensen, by the way, in the VSiN March Mania betting guide, probably the most creative guy we have at the network, just finding fun angles to bet on these teams. And you know how I know Jensen loves the big dance? I once had him on a show probably 7-8 years ago, and the Vanderbilt Commodores were playing in the NCAA tournament, but we booked him to talk about baseball because he played in the majors. He was like, hang on, boys, I'm sweating out a bet on Vanderbilt. That's how you know that guy's special. After that, they hand it off to Gil Alexander and Kelly Bidlin on a numbers game at 10 a.m. Eastern time. And then after that, it's prop points with Jeff Erickson and Nick Whalen at 1 p.m. Eastern. That'll do it for us here on Cashing Out, but we'll be back all night Wednesday, sweating out some NBA, sweating out the first four, and getting you ready for the big dance, which begins on Thursday. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. I'll see you next time on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.